It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pennsylvania's 18-year-old Defensive Marriage Act defines marriage as between a man and a woman. But now that law is being strongly challenged in federal court, inspired by the U.S. Supreme Court's decision 10 months ago that the Federal Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. The case, in which the lead plaintiffs are Deb and Susan Whitewood of Bridgeville, is scheduled for trial June 9th. But the judge, John Jones III, could opt to decide the case without a trial. Joining us to discuss what's going on here is one of the lead attorneys for the plaintiffs, Vic Volchak, who is also the legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Pennsylvania. He joins us now by phone. Vic Volchak, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Are you and the plaintiffs hoping this case goes to trial?
Look, as a trial lawyer, I love trials, and this would have been a wonderful case to take to trial. But you really only need trials if there are disputes of important facts. And what we've learned in the last 6 months of doing discovery in the case is that the Commonwealth strategy is not to dispute the harms that our 11 couples claim they suffer because of this marriage law. They're not disputing the testimony of our many experts who talk about why there's no good reason to discriminate against same-sex couples. The Commonwealth's defense is really a legal one, and that is that the legislature had a rational basis for making the decision they did 18 years ago. So given that there's no dispute of fact, a trial really isn't necessary. And the one benefit of foregoing a trial is that we could get a decision more quickly from the judge, since he's going to have everything he needs by early May.
What can you tell us, Vic, about the lead plaintiffs in this case?
They are kind of a mirror image of what you might think of as a traditional couple and family. They made a decision a long time ago. They've been together since the early 1990s. They made a decision that Susan was going to be the single income earner in the family. She was going to be bringing home the paycheck. She had a good corporate job in downtown Pittsburgh, still has it. And Deb was going to stay home and raise the kids and take care of the household. And, you know, she's been president of the PTA and intimately involved in all the school activities. They have two teenage girls, one of whom is now starting to look at colleges. And then just last year, they adopted a little 3-year-old boy, Landon. You look at this family, and what you see is love, you see commitment, and you see the kinds of families that are recognized and allowed to marry all across the Commonwealth, except that they're of the same gender.
Now, you reportedly said that the benefits of having the judge decide it exceed the pluses of holding, quote, largely a one-sided trial, end quote. Mm-hmm. So explain what you mean here.
Yeah, from the beginning, we've thought, the ACLU and Hangley Aronchick, the law firm we're working with out of Philadelphia, who's done a tremendous job in this case, we have felt like we want to present a full record of evidence for the judge to decide this case. If you look around at all the other cases across the country, they are not being decided on a full record, with one exception, which is actually in Michigan. But all the other cases are being done on the papers. There's not full discovery. There's not full development of all the facts. And what we have are 11 couples, the two teenage girls of the Whitewoods, and then a widow whose spouse passed just 2 months before we filed the lawsuit. And what we want to do is present the stories of these people to show that they are just like any other couple, just like any other family in the Commonwealth that can get married. And we have 6 experts who talk about things like child rearing, like the history of marriage, the history of discrimination against gay and lesbian couples, sexual relationships, economic harm caused by not being able to marry, legal harms. And what we want to do is have all of that presented to the judge in a record. And not that not only gives the trial judge a basis to decide the case, but we think it's important for when we go up on appeal so that if there's any questions, the judges can go to the record and say, aha, even though the trial judge may not have mentioned this, we can see this in the record there. And what we figured out is that everything that we would have wanted to do at trial, we can present just on the papers because of the strategy that the Commonwealth has adopted in this case. So, we get our evidence in, and we may even get it in more cleanly than we would at trial. And we have the added benefit of the cases teed up for the judge to make a decision more quickly. Now, whether he takes advantage of that and decides it more quickly, we don't know. But it's possible because he will have what he needs to make a decision about a month sooner.
And what would lead the judge to insist on a trial or a hearing at this point?
Right. The only thing that would cause the judge to hold, and at this point I think a full trial is definitely out. There is a possibility for a much shorter hearing. And what it depends on is whether the judge finds that there is what's known as a dispute of material fact. So if, for instance, the Commonwealth came back and said, no, none of the plaintiff couples are really harmed, and we're saying, yes, they're harmed in multiple ways, both tangible in terms of economic and otherwise, and many, many intangible ways, and all the ways that every time somebody has to check a box saying they're single or because they're not really single, or every time they have to fill out their marriage their tax returns because they can't file married as jointly or even singly, and they have to check single. I mean, every time that hurts. And so if the judge found that there was that kind of dispute, he couldn't decide it on the papers. At that point, we would need a trial at least on that issue. But based on what we've seen in the first round of briefs from the Commonwealth and based on what we learned in the countless discussions we've had with their lawyers over the last several months, we don't think that there's going to be that kind of dispute, and the judge really will be able to make a decision just on the papers.
This lawsuit was filed in July, just weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court's decision, which deemed the Federal Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional but did not mandate state recognition of same-sex marriage. Do you ever scratch your head and say, why didn't the Supreme Court take it further and mandate state recognition of same-sex marriage if they were going to make this decision?
I think that, and Paul, this is all speculation because Justice Kennedy and I haven't gotten together any time recently where he's shared his innermost thoughts on the issue.
Understandable, yes.
Of course, being sarcastic, and this issue comes down to Justice Kennedy because you've got four people clearly on either side of this issue. You've got the four conservatives who really don't want to go down this road and allow same-sex couples to be allowed into this institution of marriage, and then you've got four on the more liberal side of the court who pretty clearly are ready to take this step. And it really was Justice Kennedy, both in the Windsor case, which dealt with the federal DOMA, and in the Perry v. Hollingsworth case, which was the one on Proposition 8 out of California, where that's the case they really used to duck ruling on this issue. I think it really was a matter of Justice Kennedy not being quite ready to take that full step. And the question is he now ready? Will he ever be ready? But ultimately, unless there's a significant change in the makeup of the Supreme Court, this really is Justice Kennedy's decision.
And will the U.S. Supreme Court ultimately decide this issue? And if so, when?
They don't let me into those conferences on Fridays. It really, really ticks me off. So they don't even let their clerks in.
Well, there's been some speculation that this could happen within the year.
Yeah, I think the my views tend to reflect what people who really know what they're talking about are saying, and that is that the court is going to take one of the dozen or so cases that are kind of leading the pack. And they will take it in the next several months, I think, which means we are likely to have a decision from the Supreme Court next summer or by next summer. And so I think that win or lose, that decision will be binding on the entire country for probably a generation, because the Supreme Court doesn't tend to reexamine its precedents all that often. But I think it's quite likely that the Supreme Court is gonna issue a decision on one of these marriage cases sometime by the end of next June.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Vic Volchak, legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Pennsylvania and one of the lead plaintiffs in a federal court case challenging Pennsylvania's Defense of Marriage Act. Vic, what has happened in the 5 months of discovery since November when Judge Jones denied state motions to dismiss the lawsuit?
Yeah, the Commonwealth has had an opportunity to take depositions of all of our plaintiffs, and they have taken advantage of that and deposed everybody except our two teenage plaintiffs. And we think that was pretty uneventful. We have wonderful plaintiffs who have a whole variety of harms depending on their situation. You know, some of them have kids. Some of them have gone out of state and gotten married, and that marriage is not recognized here. There's others who really want to get married in the place where they live and work and often grew up and have held out. And so the state has had an opportunity to ask them questions, to look at their documents, to make sure that everything they're saying is in fact true.
What does the state have to show?
Well, that's actually an interesting legal question. There is, you're drilling down a little bit into the constitutional law, but the kind of the big question is what test the judge should apply in deciding whether or not this law, which kind of purposely singles out a particular group of people for different treatment, what standard should the judge apply? And what the Commonwealth is arguing and what every state that's been sued is arguing is that the state only needs to have some rational basis to justify treating same-sex couples differently. And rational doesn't have to be the best. It doesn't really have to be empirically supported. It's just got to make some kind of sense. We, on the other hand, are arguing that, in fact, you cannot get by with such a lame justification, that, in fact, you do have to show a strong justification for treating same-sex couples differently. And what we've seen across the country, I mean, there's now 11 federal court decisions since Windsor came down, and in every single one of those 11 decisions, the state's argument has lost. And what the courts are saying is, we don't really care what standard applies. There's not even a rational basis for treating same-sex couples differently.
So based on the rulings of those 11 federal judges, then, do you like your odds here?
I am extremely superstitious, even though people keep telling me that I don't have that kind of power, that by making a prediction that I'm going to somehow affect the outcome. But I'm reluctant to predict what our judges is going to do. What I will say is that we have a tremendous legal team that has worked very well, has worked very hard. We have wonderful plaintiffs. We have great stories. If you go on the ACLU of PA website, we have a Prezi, which I had to learn was a modern-day PowerPoint, which will kind of, in really wonderful, quick graphic form, tell you all about the case and about our plaintiffs. I think we've put on a tremendous case. So hopefully that makes it more likely than not that we're gonna prevail at the end of the day.
And we'll make a point of, if we can, of putting a link to that on our website at WESA.FM. Vic Volchak is legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Pennsylvania and one of the lead plaintiffs in a federal court case challenging Pennsylvania's Defense of Marriage Act. Mr. Volchak, thank you for joining us.
Paul, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Coming up, a conversation with Pirates great Dick Grote. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.